Welcome to Today on Broadway for Wednesday, June 21st, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Stars James Marino.
James, last night the Public Theater began performances of their new star-studded off-Broadway production of Hamlet. Golden Globe winner Oscar Isaac plays the Prince of Denmark with Roberta Calendres, Matthew Saldivar, Gail Rankin, Peter Friedman, Richie Koster, Charlaine Woodard, Anatole Youssef, and the fantastic Keegan-Michael Key as Horatio. Sam Gold directs, and the production is scheduled to run through September 3rd. James, on the Public's website, there is a really cool note from Oscar Eustace talking about casting his very first show as the Public's artistic director back in 2005. And it turns out that the very first actor that he ever cast at the Public Theater was Oscar Isaac for the Shakespeare in the Park revival of John Guare and Galt McDermott's musical adaptation of Two Gentlemen of Verona. It's a pretty cool story, James, so I encourage people to check that out. We'll have a link in the show notes. Oscar Isaac has become one of the coolest and most interesting stars on either TV or movies, so I'm really glad that he's returning to his Shakespeare and Public Theater roots. And between you and me, I'm also pretty happy that the Public Theater hasn't decided that Claudius would be fashioned after Donald Trump. As far as we know, I guess it hasn't. No, we're recording this before the performance, so maybe, who knows. But I'm really excited about this. I love Oscar Isaac, so that's very cool. Also, I want to mention this will have happened by the time this episode airs, but on the Comedy Central show At Midnight, which actually airs at 11:30, long story, don't ask, last night the three panelists were the great Kristen Schaale, who I love, Eddie Izzard, who is also great, and Groundhog Day composer Tim Minchin. If you are only familiar with Tim Minchin from either Groundhog Day or Matilda and don't know him as a comedian, dude is so funny and so smart. So I'm really excited to watch this. Until they took it off Hulu, At Midnight was actually the very first thing that I turned on every morning as I started to cut through the clutter of my inbox. The Comedy Central website isn't as good as Hulu, so I don't do it as much anymore, but I will definitely be checking this one out because that's a great panel for that show.
So the Public Theater Hamlet, any jokes about the Lin-Manuel Miranda hashtag Hamlet?
Yeah, Hamlet. Who knows? Maybe. I mean, Oscar Eustace, very influential in both of those.
Absolutely. And talking about very funny people, that Kelly O'Hara turning the tables, you know?
Yeah, over on Broadway World. That show, Turning the Tables, we've talked about it before with our friend Andrew Bredis and Ellen Marie Marsh, Julie Madsen, and I'm blanking on the fourth guy, Andrew Chappelle. Yeah. They do the thing where they have people audition. Kelly O'Hara did the one that came out yesterday. I told you, I think they're hilarious, and I love them, and I've watched them all. But they make me so uncomfortable, even though I know it's improv and it's a joke. I don't do awkward comedy. If you listen to something like a pop, you know I don't like awkward comedy. And it just makes my skin crawl a little bit even thinking about it now. But she was a champ and she was super funny.
She was super, super funny. So I would love to get her into a really comedic role. I can't think of any shows that she's done tremendous comedy in.
No, I mean, she did Nice Work If You Can Get It, which is a musical comedy, but not, you know, exceptionally funny stuff. You're right.
Yeah, it was very, very funny. How they kept on asking, oh, Kelly, what was your name again? Kelly, that's right. Yeah. Oh, we've discovered this talent here. So anyway, we should throw a link in the show notes to that. It's not part of our script here, but it was very funny. And we should get out there and support Turning the Tables. So this is not a joke. Tim Rice teases Broadway return for Chess.
I don't know. Is it a joke, though? I mean, I feel like
so many people said, you know, until I see it actually on stage. You know?
Exactly. I mean, it's like not only does love never die, but this show never dies either. In an interview with the UK's What's On Stage, the legendary lyricist Sir Tim Rice said that they have been working on a revised version of the musical Chess with an eye on coming to Broadway, quote, late next year. As I'm sure you know, the music is by ABBA's Benny Andersson and Bjorn Ulvaeus, and it spawned the pop hit song One Night in Bangkok, as well as show tunes. I know you're laughing at my script. I don't know why I have One Night in Vegas. I don't know if that was a Freudian slip. Anyway, the pop hit One Night in Bangkok, which was sung by Murray Head, that was the release that was from the original concept album. He also was Judas in the original concept album of Jesus Christ Superstar, and his brother I can't think of his name, the librarian on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV show. Anyway, back to Chess. In addition to One Night in Bangkok, it also spawned show tune standards, Someone Else's Story, Anthem, I Know Him So Well, and many, many more. But since it debuted as that concept album back in 1984, the score has been beloved, but many people, critics and fans alike, have thought that the book never really seemed to make the most out of a kind of an interesting political battle of Cold War era chess champions, one from the US and one from the USSR. For many fans, the most recent version of the show that they are familiar with was a 2008 UK concert. Holy crap, James, I can't believe that that thing's been almost a decade ago. That one starred Josh Groban and Adam Pascal, along with Idina Menzel and Carrie Ellis. Interestingly enough, Groban and Pascal also did an Actors Fund concert of the show back in 2003. So Groban and Adam have been attached to that for a long, long time. And Groban has talked about wanting to do a full production of it at some point. James, I know they've had some pretty positive readings of the new version of the show, which I believe is actually the 138th official version of Chess. But if it does come to Broadway in, say, November of 2018, that's plenty of time for Groban to do another world tour, make another album, and then come back to Broadway as yet another Russian.
That would be awesome, and I will be in the front row getting my $1,009 tickets.
Well, I mean, really, though, it might be, you know, this is a show that flopped on Broadway originally. It's been one of those cult shows that people have always said, oh, if they could get that book right, this would be great. You know, if you're going to do it, you might as well get a huge star who has proven he can sell tickets on Broadway. Yeah. Doing a show that people are familiar with him in, this might be one of the ways to flop-proof Chess, is to put Josh Groban in, you know, as a big star, as Anatoly, and see what happens.
How about Florence, Patty Murin?
Well, depending on when this comes out, she could be a good Florence. She could be a pretty decent Svetlana as well. I don't know if Adam Pascal is you know,
he
still
could not
kind
do
of
Florence. He could not do Florence.
He could do Svetlana, though. I think he could pull off Svetlana. But yeah, so I mean, but actually in that Actors Fund concert, we're going to talk about Sutton Foster later, but she played Svetlana. Julia Murney played Florence. Norm Lewis played Malakov. Yeah. Raul Esparza played the Arbiter. I mean, a lot of great people have been a part of this at different points. You know, Judy Kuhn was in the original, obviously. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, if they can get it right, awesome. If they can't get it right, I just shudder to think of how bad it could go down if, again, the show flops.
Well, you only we only know if you get up to bat, you know.
Fair.
All right. So, other news, as your crystal ball, do you have an orb there that you put your hand on to tell Broadway news?
Just a magic eight ball.
A magic eight ball. Magic eight ball. Shake, shake, shake. Is Stephen Pasquale going to do Brigadoon? No, says the magic eight ball.
All signs point to no. All signs point to no. Yeah, ever since we reported that Stephen Pascal would be leading the new Ayad Akhtar play Junk at Lincoln Center this fall, we kind of assumed that he would have to drop out of the upcoming City Center concert production of Brigadoon opposite the aforementioned Kelly O'Hara. Well, yesterday that was – what's that? With an I? Sorry.
With an I.
It's just – right.
They can tell when they're listening to it that you spelled it with a Y and not an I.
They can't. It's just a typo, you know, probably autocorrect.
Okay, whatever. Go on.
They don't. Anyway, yesterday, that suspicion was confirmed as Sydney Sitter announced that Tony and Golden Globe nominated star of stage and screen Patrick Wilson will take over for Stephen Pascal. The production, which will be directed by Christopher Wheeldon, begins with a November 15th gala for the City Center and will then have six more performances from the 16th through the 19th. James, fans won't be getting the Bridges of Madison County reunion that they might have hoped for, but Patrick Wilson coming back to the musical theater stage after doing a ton of TV and movies over the past decade to decade and a half is pretty cool. And, you know, he's done a number of really kind of classic musicals, and he also did Full Monty, which is a new musical. But
yeah.
I mean, he was did Oklahoma and all this other stuff. So it's cool to kind of see him going back into one of these classic golden age musicals, even if it is just for a few days.
You know, was Joe Pryor in Angels in America, the movie? Was that Pryor-Walter? Pryor-Walter.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah, let's see. Before people email us and yell at us.
Well, he played Raul in the Phantom of the Opera
movie,
and he played Joe Pitt in the miniseries of Angels in America.
I mixed two characters together there. That's what I had done.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's done a ton of other things. He's in the new upcoming Aquaman movie. He was in the second season of Fargo. He's in that Insidious or the Conjuring series, which is like this huge hit. Oh, he's in Insidious and Conjuring, these two horror movie franchises. He's got a really great career on stage, and but I'd love to get him back on Broadway officially at some point soon. The last time he was on Broadway was in 2008-2009 doing All My Sons. So it's it's getting close to 7-8 years now.
He didn't do the Entourage Aquaman, did he?
No, this is a new one in the new DC kind of universe thing. yeah, no. Anything related to Entourage, just leave it alone.
All right. They should have like an Entourage version, but for Broadway. You know, Entourage was all about Hollywood. They should have an Entourage. I can't even imagine what that would be.
It's a lot of stage door selfie taking.
I guess that would have been, that would have been it. All right, next up, Elf the Musical is going to return to the Madison Square Garden, the current one.
Yes,
you know, there's been four different Madison Square Gardens or something like that.
Then there's been talk about tearing it down and expanding Penn Station or something. Anyway,
exactly.
Currently there is still a theater at Madison Square Garden. And yesterday we learned that the musical adaptation of the Will Ferrell movie Elf will be returning for a 2-week holiday run. James, it's run at Madison Square Garden. It has been on Broadway, I think, 2 seasons, and then is run at Madison Square Garden, a couple other ones. For this year, the show will run from Wednesday, December 13th through Friday, December 29th, and tickets will be available on Tuesday, August 8th. Beginning at 10 a.m. No cast will be announced. I'm guessing at this point Sebastian Arcelus is not going to reprise the role that he created on Broadway, but you never know. A really fun show. I saw a tour of it. You know, really fun, kind of snappy thing to do to take some kids to get in the holiday spirit over their holiday break.
So I guess this means that Christmas Story, the musical, is not going to come back to there.
Between Christmas Story, A Christmas Carol, there's kind of a rotating group of shows that come in and out of New York. If there's an opening in a Broadway house, maybe something will sneak in there. You know, we've kind of talked about over the last season or so, Broadway theater owners fitting in limited runs of things with the Kristen Chenoweth thing, the Alton Brown thing, the Lewis Black thing, the Illusionists, kind of plugging some holes with these shorter runs. I wouldn't be surprised if there's something that closes in the fall if they don't turn around and get a production of something going really quick. I would doubt it would be a Christmas Story because they're doing it on Fox Live. They're doing the Christmas Story live this year. But who knows? There could be something else. There was another one that The Grinch.
We should remind listeners that A Christmas Story is written by Pasek and Paul.
So. Yes, and there will be a couple of new songs that ups their Emmy chances for next year, hoping to kind of get that EGOT. The E, because they've got to get the E and the G. The G is almost a foregone conclusion at this point with both La La Land and Dear Evan Hansen. But if they could get the E either for the Flash musical or for new songs for A Christmas Story, they could ramp that up in like record time.
In our ongoing story here, we're coming back to Vassar again. More stars join the Vassar Powerhouse season.
Yeah, James, this is how you release casting info a little trickle at a time, because this is like the third or fourth time we've talked about the Vassar Powerhouse season. But I looked at the list. I was like, man, I don't want to do this story again. And then I looked at the cast list of these new stars that are coming. And I'm like, well, I can't not talk about this.
Yeah.
That's because in addition to everybody else that we've already talked about, yesterday we learned that Lily Rabe, Jessica Hecht, Carol Kane, Craig Bierko, Mark Kudish, Adam Chandler Barrett, Rebecca Naomi Jones, and Lindsay Mendez will all join this summer festivities up at Vassar. Chandler Barrett, Jones, and Mendez will take part in Stephen Trask, Peter Janowitz, and Rick Ellis's new musical This Ain't No Disco from June 30th through July 2nd. Rabe, Kudish, and Bierko will appear in Hamish Linklater's new play Paris Actors on June 25th. Obviously, Hamish Linklater and Lily Rabe are a couple, and they have a child together. She just had a child fairly recently. They do a lot of stuff together, so that's not a surprise. And then Hecht and Kane will join Catherine Irby in William Kennedy and Jody Markle's Ironweed on June 24th. There are some other really cool shows that are also part of the season, which we've already mentioned, that I'll throw in here just as a reminder. Lisa Krohn and Peter Lerman's new musical Still Yagi will feature Krista Rodriguez, George Stalazar, Alex Boniello, Joel Perez, and many, many more. If you want a full set of information on the Vassar Powerhouse season, check out the link in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. I promise they're not paying us to mention them over and over again. If they want to, we will gladly take their money.
But yeah, sure.
This is how, for marketing and PR people, little drips like this with big names in each one makes it impossible to ignore.
Oh, can you imagine summer camp with Kudish and Bierko? The panty raids, these two guys, that is, and Hamish Linklater, Lily better be involved there, because she's gonna have to be the adult in the room.
Oh, I can only imagine. I'll tell you, I have never seen – well, that's not true. I saw Craig Bierko in the Concert of Company, but I first got to know him on the TV show Boston Legal, the David E. Kelly show with William Shatner.
Denny Crane.
Denny Crane. Yeah, he was so funny on that show. So I know he did Guys and Dolls a few years ago that kind of bombed with Oliver Platt and Lauren Graham, but I'd love to see him come back to Broadway as well. Him and Patrick Wilson are kind of guys who've done a lot more TV since getting their starts in Broadway musicals, but love to see him back as well.
And you mentioned Lauren Graham, and that gets us over to Sutton Foster.
there are some connections there with the Sherman Palladino clan.
Yes.
But James, I have a love-hate relationship with the TV Land show Younger. I love it because it is obviously doing great things for Sutton Foster's career, but I hate it because it's the thing most preventing her from coming back to Broadway.
Yeah.
And it's not Bunheads, which is the Amy Sherman Palladino show that I loved her in, and it was criminally canceled after one season. Anyway, however, if you are a fan of Younger or just of Sutton in general, you can now catch up on the show's first three seasons on Hulu ahead of its June 28th season 4 premiere on TV Land. The fourth season will feature appearances from Kristen Chenoweth and Asif Mandvi, as well as returning series regulars Hilary Duff, Debbie Mazur, Miriam Shore, Nico Tortorella, Peter Herman, and Molly Bernard. James, I have to admit, I've never watched the show, but I sound like a pop co-host. Jennifer McHugh mentioned on our last episode that she planned on binge watching it this summer. So I guess this should make it easier. Are you a Younger fan, James?
No, I'm a huge fan of Sutton's, but I've actually never seen Younger. So I'm going to have to check that out.
If you guys like, if you like it, let us know. It's by Darren Star, the show creators, Darren Star, who also created Sex in the City. So if you're interested in that, you can now watch the first three seasons on Hulu. And James, kind of in a similar vein with Hulu kind of being an archive of things. Yesterday, we found out that the Brooklyn Academy of Music has put 70,000 archive materials online, from playbills, posters, and other kinds of history from BAM dating all the way back to the Civil War. They achieved this archive over years of development and got a $1 million grant to do it. It's a really, really cool thing. We'll have a link to an article in the New York Times talking about it. But with a theater that has such eclectic history like BAM, this is a really, really cool opportunity for theater historians and theater fans to kind of look back through the years of not only theater, but music and dance and all these other things, to kind of see all the really cool things that have taken place in that theater and that organization.
I give you $1 million to put it online. All right.
Internet's home.
And they didn't pay us to say that either, but we'll be willing to take money though.
Yes,
all right,
always willing to take money.
Why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. You can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt and subscribe to Sound Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for spending some of your Wednesday with us, and we'll be back and catch up with you tomorrow.
Just a reminder, James, we will be a little late on tomorrow's episode because tonight I'm going to a screening of the new movie Baby Driver. So we'll be recording on Thursday morning and releasing ASAP as soon as we're done, barring any unforeseen embargoed news.